So we're doing a little series on your home. Your home may be just you. Your home may be 10 people. But you have a home. And you're never alone in your home. Once you're saved, God is there. He's with you. So last week we looked at putting Christ first in your home. And what I want to do tonight is, I don't know if I'll finish it all in the 10 minutes or 11 minutes that I usually take on here for preaching, but I wanted to give something for both the men and the ladies this evening. And so I want to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives." And then down in verse 7, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So the Bible is clear that the man is to lead the home. He is to grow in grace and be an example of Christ-likeness, not be the image we often see in Hollywood. Through the years, we've seen different images from John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Archie Bunker, the loudmouth bigot, Dagwood Bumstead, in the comic strip, who couldn't do anything without his wife. Today, it's some wimpy, often effeminate man, and he certainly is not leading the home. But I want to just park just for a few minutes on the husband as a learner. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," them being the wives, "according to knowledge." Now, you may be a house of one female, and you think, okay, I can gloss by this part. But you know what? It'll be praying for those men to be what God wants them to be, as well as for yourself. Now, as men, we're instructed to live, or the word says, dwell here with the wife in an understanding way. That's the idea here. It's a command. It's not an option. And one which defies worldly wisdom that we men often buy into. Because we hear phrases, and we often think this way. Women, who can understand them? Well, my wife's a real angel. She's always harping about something. You know, and there's all kinds of jokes and slights towards the females. But God says we can and we need to learn how to better live and lead these fine creations of God, the females. And with his word and the wisdom that he alone can give, we can be helped to that end. The command implies we need to pay attention to listen, to study. And that means all these require your interest. They require your energy. They require your devotion. You know, when I was in school, I thought I was done after a two-year college degree with my academic career, but the Lord was only starting me. I had, you know, 8 more years of schooling that lie ahead of me. And I learned in my, especially my first college years, how to really study. And when I got saved halfway through that, I learned God gave me a purpose, and he helped teach me better how to study. I would study over and over and over and over until I got it, until I had it, until I memorized it. And oftentimes when we were taking tests, I was one of the first students out of the class. In seminary, you take a test. When you're done with the test, you can leave. And I was often out of there pretty quickly, not because I was any smarter than any of them, because I put in a lot of hard work. And the Lord gave me a lot of drive to try to master the material that he had me to study. You know, we can do that. And there are plenty of men that can cite batting averages, all kinds of statistics about their favorite sports team and heroes. Why? Because they are doing the same thing God is telling them to do here. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Study them. Pay attention. Listen. How many times have you ladies said, oh, if you'd only listen? So what can we learn? Learn what helps her feel secure. Learn what she fears. Learn what pleases her or does not. In our home, I try to pick up a lot after myself. I pick up after her. She does the same for me. It's a mutual thing out of love for each other. We pick up and we help each other around the house. And some guys years ago especially would say, well, that's not manly. But it is. From God's perspective, we are warped with man's perspective of how our roles should play out. What does God say? It's manly from God's view because we are loving her as we are ourselves. We're being considerate. And one of the best times to learn about any of us is in adversity. Learn what she needs, how she reacts, how she worries, how she reacts emotionally. We men fail a lot here in not listening when that is the greatest opportunity to dwell with her according to knowledge. We're prone to tune her out. We're prone to throw up our hands because of the differences rather than celebrate the differences. It calls her a weaker vessel here. And let's understand what this means because this is often misunderstood. Women, it doesn't suggest by calling her a weaker vessel that she's a weakling. Far from it. Most women are far much stronger when it comes to getting sick and everything else. You know, they're much more stronger than us men in many ways. So it doesn't suggest she's a weakling so much as our need to, here's the idea, handle her with care. Because she's valuable. Don't you handle something, if you're moving something and it's worth a lot of money, you're going to take great care you don't drop it, you don't break it. That's the idea here. Handle with care because she is so valuable. God, it's true, values each of us no matter what our gender. And Scripture says, though, in Proverbs 8:22, the whoso finds a wife finds a good thing. Good. Proverbs 31 and verse 10, he talks about the worth of a virtuous woman. Her value is far above rubies, far above rubies. Yet she's all too often treated like dirt rather than precious by most men in our society. Are you communicating to her that she's precious? When you mistreat her, you hinder your own prayers. Learn suggests that we guys have some work to do, but it's worth it. Now for the ladies. Let's switch over to the ladies. Verse 1 says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. So he's talking about submission here. That has not been popular since the rise of so-called feminism came up in the past generation. This is the hardest, probably, of the duties for women, because it's hard for all of us, because the counterpart to this would be rebellion. But this is greatly misunderstood, what this idea of submission here is, or the word is subjection in our verse this evening. It's where we struggle. Again, not just women. It's a human problem, a human malady. So this sin started in heaven with Satan, by the way, when he rebelled against God. And the same sin of rebellion continued into the Garden of Eden. It's echoed by Isaiah 53, as it's typical of all of us. The Bible says there, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And as the last days intensify, it will only increase. But may it never be said of any of us, as typical in our homes, that we're rebellious, but rather that we're submissive first to God, and then to those in a human realm that God may have us to be submissive to. And by the way, when we are submissive to the authorities that God has over us, starting with him, you do a great service to this world to show Jesus Christ. Because our world is characterized by rebellion. Not just from its music, dress, sexual habits, attitudes, all kinds of things. It can be manifest. But we can be free of that. We can be free of that as we submit ourselves to God. Because there's no real liberty in rebellion. So what are we to do? We're to take our cue from the most submissive person ever, and that's Jesus Christ. Submission then shouldn't be a bad thing, shouldn't be a dirty word, because Christ epitomized submission. He submitted himself even to the death of the cross. And when we are submissive, we're talking really about being like Christ as opposed to Satan in Isaiah 14, where he uttered those I wills, I will be like the Most High. So are you going to be obedient and Christ-like or disobedient and satanic? Which example do you want to portray to others? What is submission? First, let's see what it's not. It's not inequality. It's not inequality. The Bible says in Galatians 3:28 that we're all one and equal in the sight of God. There can be submission amongst equals. There is in the Trinity. None of us would consider government or their officials to be superior to us. But we're still to be submissive to the authority that God has placed over us. It's the same with marriage. She's not inferior. She may be different. She's not inferior, nor is he. It doesn't mean in articulation. She can speak her mind. And she must, though, do so respectfully. It doesn't mean she's incompetent. Most women would make better leaders and sadly do so by default because he's too lazy or he has been disobedient in being the leader that God's called him to be. Recently, I heard a preacher saying he was asked about women preachers. I think Beth Moore was his. They were commenting, what do you think of the lady Beth Moore? And he says she should go home. And they, what do you mean by that? Well, the scriptures are pretty clear. A woman should not be a preacher, period. And he's right about that. He says feminism has encroached upon the church and we've allowed it to do so. We've got to stick with scripture. But it doesn't mean she's incompetent. It doesn't mean she can't speak up. It just means she must know her place as we all must know our place. So what is submission? It comes from the word hupotasso and it means an under rower. Also in the Greek, in the Roman ships, they'd have rowers underneath and they were rowing. It was a menial position, but it was important for them to get from point A to point B. It was also used in the Greek military of troops arranging themselves in order under a commander. And it came to mean in a non-military usage as a voluntary attitude of putting oneself under another's authority and cooperating. So that the mission could get accomplished. We have a mission to accomplish in our homes to stand for Christ. Will you?